Okay, this is Liz Strong for the Brooklyn Historical Society Muslims in Brooklyn Project. Today is Friday, May 25th, yes. 2018. Annie, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell me where and when you were born to start?
Hello, my name is Annie Ferdows. I'm from Bangladesh, and I was born in, I was born in Chittagong, Bangladesh. Chittagong is a port city of Bangladesh. And then from there, my father moved to Dhaka. But in my birth certificate, to get the birth certificate easily, they wrote it, my birthplace in Dhaka, because certificate had to get from Dhaka. So I got it from Dhaka. I was born in Bangladesh.
Tell me about your family when you were young, your life growing up, your siblings, anything you remember about that.
Yeah, my father used to work in the city for, he was a meteorologist, and my mother was a housewife, and they had 5 children, 4 daughters, 1 son. The eldest daughter, then a son, then other daughters. But before me, there was another son born who died after some couple of months after. So there is a thing. When I was little, my father used to tell me that, you know, there are parents who joke with the children that I found it, or I got it from hospital, or things like that. But my father used to tell me that I got you from Chittagong. So later on, it stuck in my mind, oh, so they found me in Chittagong. Maybe I am not born. And you know, still that question is in my mind. Were I born in that family or I was adopted? But in Bangladesh, adoption is not considered, I mean, they're not going to say that this child is adopted, because the society will not take it that's not their own child. They'll not take it in that way. So I wonder, but I would never ask anyone, because I was, even if I am adopted, I was grown as their own child. So that is a very funny question goes in my mind. Maybe one day I will ask my eldest sister. it was, my family was, I would say, middle class, meaning that income was middle class level. And my father came from a village in my mother's parents' home. So that time, so my father wanted to study in the city. That wasn't in Dhaka or Chittagong, in another district. So he wanted to get higher education in the city. He came from village and was looking for a house where he can stay and go to college. So he came to my mom's house. He was used to stay there, didn't have to pay for rent, but he used to teach the kids in that house, whoever. So he didn't have to pay for the rent or food, and he did his college from that house. So my mother, when my grandma was very sick, my mother told my grandma told my grandpa that this young man is very intelligent and fine-looking man. You should get my daughter married with him. My mother was then very young, maybe 11 years old. So, and my grandma was very sick. So and in 2 years she died. And by the time when my grandma died, my mother was about 14 years old. And my father, before grandma died, my grandma did the wedding with my father and my mother. So my mother couldn't get education. She didn't even go to high school. After that, so she always had this in her mind that I wish I could get education. She was very progressive. So she wanted her children that you all have to get higher education, good job. So with the middle class family income, she tried her best for our education, and because she was housewife, my father used to get the salary and gave it to my mom, just a few amount he used to keep for her for his daily use, and the rest my mom would know how to distribute it for everything, clothing, education, and everything. So my youngest sister, all my sisters, we all got finished high school, college, university. My eldest sister got master's degree in Dhaka University. Second sister, she didn't get to finish university because she got married and moved to London. My brother, only brother, he's an engineer from Lahore, Pakistan, Lahore University. And my elder sister is an artist from Dhaka Art College. And my youngest sister, I'm above her. And I got master's in Dhaka University.
What was your master's in?
Political science, which is social studies. But it's completely not my favorite subject. I just had to take a bachelor or master's degree from Dhaka University because that I was told to. And I did that. I did it, but I always wanted to go to India to get a degree in dance and get a professional dancer. I learned dancing from very early childhood, maybe from 3 years or 4 years old. And then when I was getting my education, I finished my high school, which is 10th grade, SSC, secondary school certificate in 1975. Did I tell you I was born in 1959?
Mm-hmm.
In 1975, and then HSC, which is higher secondary. So 10th grade is higher school. Then another 2 years it is a college. In 1977, I did that. And then there was 1 year gap. I went to another college. After 1 year break, I got in admission in Dhaka University, and I got my master's in social political science in 1983. But during all this time, after the school and school hours, I was always involved in dancing performances. And my mother admired. My mother sent me anywhere I wanted to go to. My father was not that easy about this. Probably it's because he was from a village and very conservative family. He wanted, and also income is also another thing, because these are a lot of pressure on that. On the income, and in Bangladesh, the city school, there are not many, but not all of them are good. My mother wanted to let us go to best schools, college, good education. So we had to pay for that, school, college, everything we had to pay, and then again going to dance school, performances, getting costumes, everything cost money. But still then she encouraged, she sent me, and I was like dancing and singing. It was probably in my blood, and wherever I used to go, I was like, I caught people's eye. Whoa, look at her, she's graceful, she's not shy. So Yeah. Tell me which way should I go.
What did you love about dance? Why?
The rhythm, the movement of the body, expressions. Indian Bangladeshi dance has stories to tell through dance. So the expression changes. Through dance we tell love stories. Sadness of life, and a little child is happy for getting something. It's a nice, beautiful day. Let's show it through dance with expression. So everything about it, it's wherever I see a dance, even a picture in a newspaper, my eyes would stuck there. So whenever, back then, we had a black and white television. When I was in maybe in 10th grade, before we didn't have any television. So if I was passing by any houses and I hear music, I'll try to peek through the window. Is that a dance? I'll stop there. Someone has to push me. Let's go home. So I don't know. It's a joy of. I get joy from these activities, dancing, singing, everything.
Did you tell me that you got on national TV with dance at one point?
Oh, yeah. In Dhaka, I used to dance a lot on stages and national TVs in Bangladesh. And I had to do audition for the national TV. And I got chance, and not just that. When I look back, I see that, yeah, I think I have talent because when I was very young, I used to choreograph. Even my dance teacher, she used to choreograph dances and manage events, dance events. So we used to rehearse in her house. She would. A group of five or six kids. We were young, like about, like from 18 to 20 age, boys and girls. So if it was in her house, in her living room, we were dancing, she would tell Annie, could you just take care of this part? I'll be back. She would go to kitchen, do some her own chore, come back, and I was done with two or three lines of the music choreograph, and she accepted it. That's how I got encouraged, and I think I have practice of choreographing or I can do it, like I can choreograph. That feeling I got from her. And the feeling and also the intention that let me find a new music or let me do it my own way. So wherever else I went and I was given the responsibility to run a group, to run a class, to make a new performance, I was very happy. It just got from inside. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I answered
That's
your question.
That's beautiful, thank you. Just to move forward in time a little bit, was it also dance that brought you to London to stay with your sister?
Yes. So in 1986, there was a big group invited in London for Rabindranath Tagore's 125th birth celebration. There is a Tagore Society in London. They invited us, and Tagore is a Nobel laureate from India. Bengal, Bangla literature, Bangla music means Tagore has to be there. So very, very popular guy. His 125th birth anniversary, and we were like a group of 30 performers, singers, dancers, theatrical group. So big group came to London, and I had two sisters who, after marriage, they moved to London. So I went there as in the group. And my sisters, and by that time I finished my master's. So my mother said, it's good that you are going. She thought it's good that I'm going there. And they're thinking, okay, we'll find someone for her so she could stay here. I didn't really wanted to stay there. I was thinking, what am I going to do here? No dance, no Bangla. What am I going to do? But wherever I moved, the dance will come to me. It's like there was a group in London. They said, oh, you're, they were talking to my sister. They said, oh, your sister came and she used to dance. Why not she come over to our community school and teach dance to the kids? So I went there, I performed here and there. But still, I didn't want to stay because in Bangladesh, it was almost like full-time I was doing, because then I finished my education. It was just my job. And then by that time, I'm grown up. I can go by myself anywhere. And I was enjoying a lot. But I had to stay, and I got a job at the Bangladesh consulate in there. And then I got connected with my husband, who was in New York. I used to know him from before. He was my friend. So I got connected with him, started to speak to him, and that was it. Then he was saying that, okay, I'm thinking to get married. My parents are asking me to marry. To find someone, and you are in the same situation. Let's think about it. And that was the right time to click for us. And so we got engaged in London and went back to Bangladesh 1988. Got married in April 1st in Dhaka, Bangladesh. And I came back to London because I was still doing the job, and he went back here. He had green card then, and I went back to London. I got a visitor's visa in 1 month. I came here, then he applied for adjustment. It took about 6 months for me to get green card. But again, here when I came, people came to know that, oh, somebody is here in this neighborhood who dances. But not that was a little later, because when I came, I was very new. We had a very beautiful house. My husband rented that house. I got my son very next year. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-laws came. I was busy taking care of my mother and father-in-laws. I was happy. I was very happy. New life, nice house. Husband is very nice. I have a great son. And then in another 2 years, I have a daughter. My other-in-laws came. I was I moved to Avenue U and East 13th Street. After maybe 1.5 years, I had to move to another house in Avenue L, East 16th Street, because my in-laws came. I needed a bigger house, and my daughter born there. From there, probably 2004, I moved to Kensington. And I was in a rental apartment on McDonald and Dayhill Road around, not 2004, earlier. In 2006, we bought a house on Chester Avenue. So I am still there.
Tell me about how you first met your husband, how you were friends before.
Okay. That phone through phone.
Really?
Okay, yeah. I got typhoid, it's a fever, right? I was in, it was after I finished my college. So I had typhoid, and I had to, that means that for at least 1 month I had to stay home and take care of myself. I was at home and bored. So I used to read a lot of magazines in Bangladeshi newspaper and weekly magazines. There was ads that looking for friends and want to talk, like phone numbers. So I was doing that. I used to call. So I call someone, and that was Jafar, my husband. But no, it was someone else, like say for, I don't know, remember the name Rahim. It was his name. So then I found out that Rahim gave his phone number, but then he didn't want to, they were joking, like friends were joking, gave his phone number, but he didn't actually talk. Jafar was the one who was talking. I spoke to him. He used to, and I found out that he's a part-time student and also working very close to my house in an office. So he said, you know, I come over here, do you want to come to my office? And he loves, he also loves art and culture. So when I said I dance, I have performances, he said, I want to go, can you give me a ticket or something? So I went one day to give him a invitation to that show. That's where I met him. And he later on said that he wanted to get to know me more. He wanted to meet me more, but we didn't get that chance. But we met a couple of times, but we were not that close to be more than friends. So he came to America in 1980 or 81. But when he went back to Bangladesh, I don't know how the same, when he was there visiting Bangladesh, maybe for 2 weeks he went, after 2 or 3 days after, I just called his house to find out, is Jafar, do you know if Jafar is going to come soon? They said, he's here. So really, can you ask him to call me? So we met him again. So somehow we were connected. It was not just he's gone, I have no connection with him. So then again, when I came to London, I got his phone number from Bangladesh. I called him, I got again connected with him, and then life partner. And I'm happy that best partner I could ever get, because we like same things and very calm and quiet, very helpful. So I should thank God for that.
So when you got to move in together here in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. what was that transition like, coming to a new city, building a home with somebody for the first time?
Yeah, it was, for me, I was very happy, because first, from Bangladesh, I was in London, and I was in my sister's house. I have two sisters, they live separate. I didn't like there that much. One sister's husband was very conservative. He used to tell her why I go out so much, why I'm coming late. So I used to hear from the other room, I didn't like that. And at one point, I wanted to stay in my elder sister's house more. Anyway, how I was adjusting from this house to that house, and I had a job. So when I got married, and that marriage, and also probably the marriage was, I should add this. When I was in London, before I got connected with Jafar, I was engaged with someone. It was a family engagement. They found a young man who was looking for a bride, and they looked into my bio data. My sister looked into his. We were fine. We agreed. I got engagement ring, and they went to Bangladesh After the engagement, the father and the guy, they went to Bangladesh and they said they're going to come back, shopping and everything, will decide a date of wedding. But after they came back, something happened. My sister didn't tell me elaborately, but it broke. So probably that time I was also emotionally, mentally feeling very sad. When I was, that time Jafar used to call me more, and I used to, the love turned towards him. So from London, when I came, when I compared London to New York, and I came to, when I came to New York, from airport to my house, it was a semi-basement, one-bedroom apartment, very cozy, small, but well-furnished and beautiful. I loved it. And as soon as I walked in, I said, wow, beautiful house. My husband still says that the first word you said, you came in the house and you say, beautiful house, that that filled his heart. Yeah, because he was looking for a house for me. So I started very happily. I didn't, that time I was not thinking about, like the way I was thinking in London, what I'm going to do, no dance, no Bangla. I was not thinking at all about any of those. I loved the house I started, but he was, he used to work in a Jewish company as a bookkeeper. And then maybe after 2 weeks, he started to go, evenings he used to do car service to get some extra money. He used to get this apartment rent and furniture she had, he used to buy. So probably he had more, he had also loans from his previous business. He had a he bought a grocery store on Church Avenue with his, with one of his cousin. So he put a lot of money in that grocery store, but he doesn't have any experience in that business. So he was the only guy taking care of the grocery store. His cousin was doing something else, probably driving yellow cab. He put his money, they both maybe put his money, but lost the whole money, like $40,000 went in the garbage. So he started, he went back to his job. He was doing car service. So when he married me, he had a lot of loans. I came to know that. So, and so I started to look for a job too, because during daytime, what am I going to, I'm at home doing nothing. And in maybe in 2 months, I got a job in 9th Avenue and around 41st Street in a drapery store, a Jewish guy. He had a drapery store. He still has it in 13th Avenue and 41st Street, where my, later on, my sister-in-law worked. So I went there. He told me, he showed me the sewing machine. I never, I used to sew my, our own clothes at home. I know how, but we used to, we had a machine we use with hand, not electric machine, not with feet. So he showed me, can you do it? He, so I was very slow. He said, yeah, you can do it. So I started to work there. And it was good because time was very flexible. My husband could drop me, pick me up when I had my children. I even can go after my husband came home. So he used to take care of the baby. I went to work around 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock for 2-3 hours. Whatever hour I got, it's money. So that's how we work. So the question was, how was my transition here? Yeah, then when I came to Church Avenue, Kensington area, then people found me, oh, you used to dance. Then I came to dance world.
So it took a couple years.
Couple of years, because I was totally aware of everything. If I dance anywhere, maybe people will know. I was totally aware and didn't came in my mind. I was not missing it. But when I came here, I don't know how, but someone from the neighborhood, this neighbor, actually maybe also for the neighborhood. Where I was, that neighborhood was a few Pakistani people over there in Avenue U, mostly Russian and Arabic people over there. But here, Bengali, Bangladeshi community a lot, even back then, there were some groups, they were performing, they found me, and then I started. And I started started to go to Queens to teach in 91. I had my daughter in 91, May, maybe end of 91 or beginning of 92 I started. I took my two kids with me. My husband is in favor of it. Go. He said, go. He let me learn. My husband is always will encourage with everything. I want to learn driving. Okay, go. You can do it. I know you can do it. I did it. Can I drive? I mean, even later, my children go driving. He doesn't care. I said, why you let him go? He can do it. Let him do. She can do it. Let him do. So she was that flexible. He used to let me do everything I wanted to. I got support. So it was good, easy for me. And I should say thank God again for everything.
Tell me about getting the school started in Queens in 92.
Okay. Before 92 in Queens, I was doing in Brooklyn. There was someone in Brooklyn, an organization called Rong Dhonu, they said that let's start a school. The lady, I can't remember the name now. Anyway, I was teaching dance in her house. But somehow I didn't like some of the things. Then I stopped there. I told my husband, can I find a basement somewhere here that where I can teach as I want to? So I found a basement in somewhere in Avenue C. I was teaching there. And then from Queens, from Jamaica Queens, there is a Bangladesh Society, very old organization. They said, can you come and teach us? It was in, so they had school in Hillside and 179, that area. I used to go there, teach there. And so I got to know more people who are singing, dancing, because I helped them organize events and teach the kids, choreograph. They have yearly events. I dance that time, so I get to know more people. And then some of us said that let's just the artists make an organization, and that way we can make bigger shows, like a musical play, which needs a lot of practice, months of practice, and coordination. We don't have to think about a whole lot of things. So we got together in 1992. We did first musical play, Tagore's Shama. It was live songs with instruments and vocal and the dancers in front of it. It was about 3 hours performance. It was a hit in New York, in Bengali community, of course. Because they have not seen with the live music, a dance drama in Bengali, they did not seen. So after that, we thought that we should form it. It was like we got together and put up the show. Now we realized that we have to make the formation, register the organization. That's how we got registration, Bangladesh Institute of Performing Arts. And then after that, many things happened. People left. We fought with each other. One said this way. We said not that way. But the good thing is that we made at school. We thought that we have to teach our generations that are growing, and we have to make the performing group bigger, to continue it. So we started school, and there are only few more very dedicated performing artists were with me, which we were very stubborn that this is our goal, we are going to do this way, and we did it that way, and we had to fight some men, and then women, as women, we did it, we didn't lose the fight, and our fight was for the better thing. Our fight is for to establish the school, to teach our kid, not to get profit from it, to spread our culture, to teach Bangla language, to let our generation know about Bangla. And I'm very proud now that we did it 25 years back. This year we had our 25th anniversary.
So tell me, you mentioned this when we spoke on the phone, but tell me on the record, why is it so important to tell this new generation born in America about language, dance, music, culture?
Yeah. So I think the Bangladeshi people, Bangladeshi generation, the next generation whose parents were from Bangladesh, or great grandparents, one day they would realize that if they don't know their culture, they'll realize that how come my great parents were from Bangladesh and I don't know anything about it, who would be responsible for that? Them as a child, they would not know that they have to learn, and we have to make them to learn. We have to tell them that look, your mom or your grandma was not born here, and you are immigrant. They are immigrant, so they belong to a different culture, and it's a rich heritage. You could learn it, and then be proud of you. You can be American, Bangladeshi American, but you cannot be proud of the Bangladesh or the culture if you don't know it. If you cannot tell about it, if you can say how a different sides of the culture, you cannot be proud of it. It will be opposite when you are a grown up. Now some of our friends' children, they blame their moms that why didn't you take us to a Bangla school? Why there wasn't any? I would know now Bangla. I think for every immigrant, the tradition, the culture should pass on. Otherwise, it's going to die. One day it's going to die, and it's like general. It's like you talk about only America, but look at you. You don't look like here. You are from somewhere else, but from where? What about that? Yeah.
I also want to ask you about your involvement in Kensington specifically. One of the things you told me about when we spoke is that you weren't satisfied with the spaces and community opportunities for women, and so you got involved in trying to improve that. Can you tell me some of those stories?
Yeah, I got involved. So I think I got this from my mom. My mother was very active in many other things. At home, she used to also do social work. She was engaged in Bangladesh women's politics. So here again, wherever I see there is a scope to do something, or someone invited, can you come? Something is happening there, I'll go, and I get involved. So that's how I got involved in Kensington. There was a world fair in Kensington women, they put up an event named Kensington World Fair in 2010, 10 probably, I got to know my neighbors at that time. There were artists, writers, I was a dancer, a journalist. We did this big show after that. So that's how I get to know my neighbors. Before, though I was living in Kensington, but I used to work more outside of Brooklyn, in Queens. Work, I mean, the cultural side, my art. But my job was in East New York, in Brooklyn. So what happened, so over there in Brooklyn, I after that Kensington World Fair, these women got together again. There was a, they formed Kensington Stewards. Again, mostly women. There were a few men, but the Kensington Steward, they need to form Kensington Steward to help support Walgreen Plaza, which is right corner of Church Avenue and McDonald Avenue. It's by the Walgreen. There was a new plaza. Department of Transportation offered that they can make it, but they need a community organization to take care of it. And so Brad Lander, the council member, was looking for an organization. We were there. I was working with them. We used to go to the plaza, sweep the plaza, so that people don't complain and we can keep the plaza there. There were some chairs. People could sit, relax. We used to garden there. So I was involved, Kensington Stewards. Before Kensington Steward, Brad Lander offered me and Mamnul Haq, another Kensington community member, to become a community board member so we could take Bangladeshi people's, could be a voice for Bangladeshi people in the community board. So I was in I am still in community board. I think that's from 2011 or 12, I'm in the community board. The problem we face that Bangladeshi people, they don't go to any events or any meetings where all other Americans are there. They go to only Bangladeshi events. I think a big one problem for that is the reason they don't go to other community events because of the language, probably. And yeah, it's mainly language, and any events we see only men goes, and the men in Kensington, I'll say Bangladeshi men in Kensington is concentrated around McDonald Avenue and Church Avenue, between Avenue C and McDonald Avenue. And they usually go there to any event just to relax, to have entertainment, because after all day hard work, maybe construction or taxi driving, they need some entertainment. So they don't want to go to another serious meeting to do any social work. That is another reason. But we wanted to have them come to the community board, talk about your problem. They won't go there. But to come to your point about women, no women were there. It's only men. So because most, I would say about 90, more than 90% women are busy taking care of the house. Doesn't matter she works outside or not. If she works outside, she will come back home and take care of the home business, and the day is gone. She doesn't have time to go outside. And it's hanging outside for women is like haram, which is a no-no. It's against our culture in Bangladesh. But now the picture is very different in Bangladesh too. But here, no. So in Kensington, the families are coming lately, like last 10, 15 years, men are getting citizenship. Families are coming, a lot of families are coming because schools are overcrowded. And 60% are Bangladeshis. But the women are housewives, maybe they don't know English, they don't have job. But housework is a big job. But I feel bad for them because they don't have any entertainment. And it is also, I also feel that they don't have any feelings that they're missing something. When there is a big street fair, Bangladeshi street fair, if you ever go, you will see Bangladeshi families with their husband, children. That's the only entertainment probably they go. Not even movies they go. So then I thought that maybe we could do something, form an organization for the women to see if they want to come to ladies' club, ladies' association, where they can just do adda, meaning chit-chat, have some fun time. So it's been not even 1 year. I was thinking it for a long time, but from I think last October or November, we had first meeting in my house. 3 or 4 came. I'm trying to do a meeting every month. It's still like now it's from 8 to 10 members. They come again 1 month 6 and then another month 10. Whenever there is a celebration like Bengali New Year or spring event, a dinner, more people comes. But my target is that generation, that ladies who looks like they are very restricted with many things. Maybe they are not allowed to go anywhere. So we didn't get to get them yet. I'm hoping that the more, if we have to continue doing it, do meeting every month or events, not meeting, maybe they won't be much interested because they're, for these women, mostly they're Muslim, they have Muslim community, they have gathering for the women, but they speak about religion. But here we said that we are not going to talk about any religion. It's about life, about children, about having fun, about our past, just my past and my future. Maybe not even my husband or my children. To continue, we have to, every other month, if we have to put some events. So when I organize events like we did Pita Utsav, Pita is like pastries, homemade pastries. We did that. It was a competition, homemade Pita competition. Many family members came. I saw some husband was helping them. So events like these, and if it's only for women, I think they will come more and more. We have to be known to people that they do, what they do is not harmful for Islam or religion. And we don't say that you cannot have your hijab, you cannot cover, we don't say that. But I don't want you to tell me that you have to cover too. It should be, we formed it for just for the women to come and relax. We had a workshop, immigration workshop. It was an immigration, NYC ID, and some health issue. And many women came. And they showed interest to talk about family problems. So I'm thinking to do these more and more. The more we'll do these, people get to know, and I think like Bangladesh Institute of Performing Arts is a big a known organization now. It will be one day also more. And now that I'm heading towards my retirement, I think I can give more time to other organizations.
You know, I also want to ask you, while we still have time, about your faith and, you know, religious communities that you grew up in or raised your children in. Tell me anything that comes to mind on that subject.
I was born in a Muslim family. So now I think that as a Muslim, I wanted to teach my children, go learn how to read Quran, learn the verses so you could use those for prayers, 5 times prayers. They started to learn here in my house and then stop at one point. But I want to go back what I wanted to say, that in Bangladesh also, we were taught, because it may be because my family was liberal, not so restricted, conservative, liberal family. So we were told to learn the basic, that you have to learn how to pray 4 or 5 times, do how to keep Ramadan, Roja, for a month, and then those. So those are all memorization. Memorize the verses, read the Arabic, just reading, but I didn't know meaning. So now I think that actually to keep religion, I have to know what it is. That's how we need to teach. That, look, this is Islam. Islam says this. Not that this is what you have to do. And then when I was teaching my kids, when they were asking me so many questions, I could not answer because I don't know. And my son was, I think that he's smart. He used to ask me, look, this should not be this way, but the other way. He used to give me reasons, and I thought, maybe yes. So I was born in a Muslim family. Probably my mindset was not as a very conservative Muslim. I just learned that I have to do the basic things. I got lost from the question.
I'm curious about how you then taught your children.
Oh, okay.
So when he was asking you these questions.
Right. So my father and mother was doing 5 times prayers, roja, everything. When I was in Bangladesh, not 5 times, but I used to regularly pray. But I also used to dancing, singing, everything. But in Islam, it's prohibited. So now when I came here, and my husband also very, very liberal, my husband says, no, you don't have to do this way, we could do it another way. So now, then I have this question, I don't think it's right that I'm doing prayer and I'm going to the performance, how it can be okay. But some of my friends, they do prayers and bow. They say, we're told to do it, to follow these rules. I think one day God will know. That's how they're growing. So at one point I stopped. I said, I don't think I'm doing it right. But what I'm doing, I'm not doing any bad thing. I'm doing good things, I'm helping people, I'm always honest, unless I don't lie, I help people. I think I'll go to heaven where the Muslims are going, the Hindus are going, Christians are going, I'll be okay. So I am a Muslim, but I don't pray 5 times. And I'm okay with that. My husband is okay with that too. Did I answer your question?
You did, yeah. Are there any religious communities that you're a member of in Brooklyn or things like that? Or is it more a personal relationship just for yourself?
I am not What do you mean by that?
Do you go to mosque? Do you have prayer groups? Anything like that?
No, I don't go to mosques. I don't go to mosques. I don't... I don't go to any... There are women who sit together to talk about religion. But I don't know about other religion. Excuse me. In this Muslim community, I think they talk about Muslim religion, which is good, but at the same time they say that other religion are bad, which that I don't want to hear. I don't like. So I don't go to any Muslim community organization. But I don't know. Maybe it's just Bangladeshi Muslim community says that. I don't know, maybe other community does not. I don't know. So I'm very liberal, but I'm still Muslim.
You know, I love talking to you, and I wish we had more time, but I think we're coming up on when you were hoping to leave. So I guess the last thing I will ask you is, how do you hope Kensington will be different in the future? Or your ladies group, or, you know, even Avenue C Plaza, which we didn't even get to talk about, these public spaces you've invested in. What do you hope the future of this place will be?
Kensington. In Kensington, there are also a big Spanish group. They are not that much involved in the community. Only there are a few leaders who get together in different activities, but when they have events, we don't see much. It's same as Bangladeshi also. So I hope that one day these women will take leadership, will come forward and say that, event we had this April in Avenue C Plaza, it was Bangladeshi New Year Festival organized by Bangladesh Institute of Performing Arts, which is a women-run organization, and the big street was closed. There was also Singing Winds. Jill Rainier was with me too. I should say her name also. So also another woman. The big street was closed. It was just because Brad Lender, his help. And many women came, only a few men came. So I want to see that women organize, probably only when women organize, more women come, men don't come. So that's okay. We need to organize more of these kinds of events. And I want to see one day that more women in Kensington take the leadership. Women's meeting, I'm trying to get it to them that we have to start to know how to lead anything, like maybe a meeting, how you lead a meeting. From here you can take an initiative to an event. They all think that I am something big because I did many big events. I always tell them, it's just my experience. I keep doing for 25 years. Now the way I talk to you guys looks like I know so many things. If you start now, and you'll be able to be a leader. So I want to see more women leader in Kensington. They organize more events. And I also want other community to come over and do more events. Now in Avenue C Plaza, it's good that many other organizations, we are coming together and doing events. Like in Ramadan, we are having iftar where many communities comes join. And we are going to have one summer month of June, Art Bill Studio will be there. We are trying to put up shows where Arts and Democracy is coming forward, Bangladesh Institute of Performing Arts, many other organizations. So I hope to see that in Kensington, many other organizations come together, leaders come together, not just men, not just Bangladeshi, separate. It's Bangladeshi, Hispanic, Chinese, Russian, all come together and build a big community, bigger community, cultural exchange.
Annie, thank you so much for your time and your stories. I loved talking with you. I could do it all day, frankly, and I'm sorry we have to end. But, you know, I look forward to being in touch as this project progresses, and I wish you all the best. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz. It was my pleasure. So